Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and I'm butthurt to start the day. I don't know why I'm butthurt. I'm just in a bad mood. I woke up today. I woke up, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to be in a bad mood today. I just
made the
decision.
That determination yourself?
Yeah.
All right.
I just knew, like, I woke up. You know, you wake up some days, and you're like, oh, it's going to be a good day. I got stuff to do. I woke up, sat on the bed, and I said, I'm going to have a bad day today.
I'm going to have a bad day. Well, there you go. It could be a good – I feel – can I tell you about my weekend? Now, I'm having a much better day. I'm going to get TMI really quick, if that's all right with everyone.
Love Katie TMI.
As we get older, things in our bodies start to change a little bit, and I feel like once you cross the 32 threshold – you can't take, I'm just going to say it because we're all human, you can't take pooping for granted anymore, okay? And this weekend was kind of a freebie for me, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go for a super long bike ride, I'm going to go to the beach, I'm going to do this and that. Well, it had been like 3 days since I took a dumper. Oh. And so it's like walking around with a bomb inside of you, and you have no idea when it's going to go off. It's like a human IED, and you, so like... I couldn't bike all the way to the beach because I didn't trust myself. I was like, shit. So I put it in my trunk, took it to the beach, scouted out where the public bathrooms were, and then went from there. Even yesterday, I put my bike in the trunk of my car, rode it to, drove to the beach, but then never even took it out. I just found a beach with a giant porta potty next to it and was like, God damn it. So that's my weekend, folks. So if you think you had a bad day today, I was walking on. Anyway,
so you wanted to start the show today and tell audiences who might be new to the show that you're constipated and couldn't go to the beach of choice, but you had to go to the beach that had the most convenient porta potty location.
Well, I'm just saying it, like, once you hit that age, a certain age, it starts to, like, dominate your life. Like, you're not free anymore.
Show start with a little bit of a Babadook vibe. I have a grown up drinking wine type of vibe.
Cons, how's your teeth?
My mouth's doing much better. Thank you for asking. The swelling has gone down considerably. The pain is almost non-existent. And overall, the weekend wasn't too bad other than, I hate to admit this, if I'm not out at a restaurant with people outside of my family, I sometimes tend to eat very quickly to the point where people will say, Connor, take a breath. And it's not the most classy of ways to eat food. And I don't know. I feel like I've always been a fast eater, but it just got exasperated by being in the military. I'll just blame the Army on this one. But it forced me this weekend to eat very slowly, which I found to be good because then I was actually full and not eating more than I actually should, because I think so often people do that where they eat so fast that they put more food in their belly before they're realizing that they are in fact full. And I got to tell you, I don't know where the rest of this story is going.
I got to be honest, this is the worst start in the history of DBT. We've done 287 episodes, and this is by far the worst 5 minutes to open a show we've ever had. What in the fuck is
Connor
going on?
This is
why
hoovering.
I sat on the side of the bed and said I was going to have a bad day. I knew this was going to happen.
Connor's hoovering his food. I can't poop, and you are in a bad mood. This is a classic Tuesday goof. I mean,
it is classic Tuesday. And we have 5 rounds in the magazine, if Kate will allow me to read them. Round number one. Remember the Green Beret who tried to do a little coop goofing in Venezuela? Well, I got 20 years in prison in that same Venezuela.
Yikes.
Round number two, the DOD is finally relaxing some of their movement restrictions. But what about some of the contractors who've been stranded in Afghanistan for more than 4 months with jail-like restrictions? Round number three, outdoor classes seem super fun, so maybe all the school-aged children will absolutely love school this far. 41% of all schools need to update their ventilation system, though. 41%.
Percent. That's terrible.
Get me 8 Marines who have completed the HVAC MCI right damn now. We're going to need them to post up at all the elementary schools in and about their town. Round number four, our beloved Coast Guard is back at it again, and this time they've saved longtime stoolies Emma and Bubbles. We're going to tell you about this tale, which is certain to leave you shell-shocked. And finally, round number five, we took to social media to discuss which military movie would you like to see turn into a musical. And I want to say, I looked for the musical version of A Few Good Men. There has been some plays of A Few Good Men. Did you know this? Have you seen this? People were talking about this.
Well, yeah, A Few Good Men was a play before it was a movie.
Yeah, and I watched one, and it had our guy Rocky Blyer on it, and he was like one of the presenting people of it, like in the local Pittsburgh performance. But the people there, God help them, that was the worst. Acting.
Do you want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
The people, I'll try to blog it sometime, but the people involved in this are the most ate up uniform wearers I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, nothing gets my stuck in my craw more than ate up uniforms.
It's like a 55-year-old man wearing a corporal Marine Corps fucking camis and his sleeves are all looking like a soup sandwich. They're standing at a modified version of parade rest. It triggered me to no end. The only thing that they had right is they were wearing Rocky boots whenever they did it, just like we are whenever we're doing anything. You like that, Kate? You like that transition?
You know I love a good transition, my friend. That was a beaut.
I do. And if you want to transition to a more comfortable boot, I recommend going with our friends at Rocky Boots. They are the best boots in the biz. I wore them this weekend to do a little backyard goofing. They're the official. Now they are the official boot of my mini bike. Whenever I'm mini bike goofing, I'll be on there.
So hell yeah.
Because I was wearing my yellow and pink tennis shoes, put my feet down for a break whenever I was going over this little ditch by this elementary school and scratched my toe up. And I was like, you know what? I need to go get my Rocky boots on, so I'll be a little bit more safe. They have, even if you don't have a mini bike, but you are in the military, they have a branch specific boot for you. Whether it's the Marine Corps, they have one that's authorized. It's BRE compliant and all that stuff. Make sure that you're going to get the boots that are the best boots in the biz. Even Kyle was wearing them in his garage, and he said they're comfortable, just basically like you're standing on one of those stress pads the entire time. Is that what it's called? Stress pad?
Anti-fatigue mat.
Anti-fatigue mat.
They're actually really great. I wear them all the time now.
It's like the boot version of an AFM is what the military would call it.
As they say.
Yeah. Make sure you get your boots for 25% off by going to RockyBoots.com in the promo code ZBT at checkout for 25% off your next set of boots. Let's get started with the show that has a constipation and fast eating theme so far. We'll get going with the rest of it right damn now. A good weekend this weekend. I did a lot of things that, you know what, this weekend was probably the best weekend I've had in a long time.
Hey, there you go. Cheer up, Buttercup.
I'm not sure why it was good. I just had a good time. I think of the mini bike. I would get hot, like doing something around the house, hop on the old mini bike, take it for a cruise around, and all the other dads being jealous as hell was awesome. Like,
so wait, I need to know very quickly, because you usually will run these sort of purchases by us before you make them, and I had no idea you were in the market for a mini bike, and then all of a sudden, you are a freaking old Harry and Lloyd head ass cruising down the street 70 miles to the gallon. Where did this come from?
You just need things to get you through quarantine, and that's the way that I'm going, like just little things that are enjoyable. I was so close. Like in negotiations deep on buying this cart. You know the ones that they have at the airport where they will drag like 50 different luggage things like to put it on the plane?
Yeah.
One of those was for sale, like a luggage cart, but they had all terrain tires on it. And it was like, it'll pull 1,000 pounds. And I was like, oh man, I need that. Just load that fucking thing up with some bricks and bring it to my backyard and then cruise around. But I thought the mini bike was a little bit more appropriate. So we've been on that thing. I had to put it together, put the oil in and do the gas stuff and change the oil. It's been fun. And I did that. But yesterday, mini bike wasn't even part of it. Yesterday, you guys know how much I love honey. Like, I talk about how much I love honey. And this part of my weekend made me so
this
happy.
This was another no context. I get a lot of no context chaps. You know how they have those like no context, like
yeah,
whatever Twitter accounts? Yes. There should be one for the text that I get from chaps. It'll be like Tuesday at 11:45 p.m. and they'll just send me a cartoon chicken with zero. And I'm like, what is this? And he's like, I don't know. I just like this chicken. This was yesterday. He sends me like a 1,000-ton drum. He's got like five of them in his backyard of honey. And yeah. I was like, oh my God, are you starting a bee farm? That was my first thought, was that Chaps
That's
was...
That's what Feidelberg said too.
Yeah, I was like, are you starting a beekeeping farm? And this is where
he's
you're
like, dude, I'm
going
to have to do an intervention with you on hobbies. Like, and you're taking it too far.
Yeah. I saw you tweeted the barrels and people then, of course, did the research. Internet sleuths and were like, holy shit, if there's actually honey in that, that's like $1,000, $1,600 barrel of honey. I was like, I'm going to wait to hear what this is. So what are you doing?
He's trying to corner the honey market.
Yeah. Well, one thing, honey never goes bad, and bees are dying at an alarming rate. So if you want to have honey, you might want to stockpile it and bury it, because anybody can have a root cellar if you're brave enough. Mm-hmm. But the honey thing, I was going to make an ugly drum smoker is what I had thought about with these drums. Like, I thought that would be a good little easy, fast videos for longtime stoolie. Go ahead, Kate.
They're empty drums then.
Partially empty. They do have, some of them have honey in it still, and I had to get the honey out. So he said there's probably 2 or 3 gallons of honey in each one of those left, and then I have to clean it out. But that's a lot of honey.
Like, it is.
And listen to this. So I'm searching for the ugly drum smoker, and I'm going on this website. I was on Facebook Marketplace, and I just put in 55-gallon drums. All these places in Texas sell 55-gallon drums. So I'm going through to find, like, the cheapest ones that will fit the needs that I have. Because basically what I got it for was to build a barbecue area, and I'm going to use the 55-gallon drums as the tabletops. Well, I'm going to use that as the table part and then make a top for the tables and then do a drop down with one laying on its side where my big green egg will go. And then I came across this – it was this picture of, like, a semi-truck that had – nothing but honey barrels on the back. I'm talking on this truck, there was probably 500 of those 55-gallon drums of honey. And they were like, you can have it for $10 a barrel. Like, $10 will get you one of these barrels. But it was like an hour and 45 minutes away from me to go pick them up. I said, fuck it. It's Sunday. I'm going to grab Kelsey. We drove an hour and 45 minutes to go pick these things up. And the lady was like, how many do you want? And I said, as many as I can fit in the back of my truck. Yeah. So I got five of them to go back with me, and I'm going to do it. I love the aesthetic of it. Like, just the natural honey product of Mexico. I love the way it looks. I think it'll look cool as my tabletop. That's the reason why I got it.
Two things. Number one, Kate, we have completely been vindicated for Chaps giving us a hard time because he just told a 38-minute story about honey.
Honey barrel.
So that's what we are. People want to know about
that. Okay. Yeah. No, but I don't know. I'm sorry. When you're talking about this whole thing, you guys ever seen the movie Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they're at the end, they're like, oh, the Dukes are trying to corner the orange juice market. I just picture Chaps' neighbor walking down the street, and then they see him with all these barrels of honey. Oh, Chaps is trying to corner the honey market.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think my neighbor thinks I'm the strongest man alive because I took those honey things and acted like they were super heavy when my neighbor was outside. So he thinks that they're full and just hoisted it on my shoulder. And put
is
it
this
in
the same neighbor? Is this the same neighbor who mouthed off to your wife?
No, not Dickhead Rick. No.
Well, I would like tell him to say. I got about 2 to 3 pounds of honey in my barrel I gotta clear out, so.
Okay.
Let's move on to round number one. We're gonna get going with that story, because if you want to shitting in the Venezuela prison is not where you want to be.
Ew.
This story, it gets strange. You know, over quarantine, I've been watching a little bit more movies. As you guys know, I'm not a big film guy. I don't spend a lot of time watching movies, but I have watched more mainly because I had this little setup that you could see behind me in my office now, where I can watch a big screen movie in here and turn it up, and nobody really cares because nobody wants to watch military movies with me in my house. So I've been watching more. I don't know if we're just running out of realistic shit to make movies about, but some of the things that they make movies about, usually starring Ben Affleck, now are so unbelievably unrealistic until you read a story like what happened in Venezuela. This story comes to us, it's from the AP, I think, originally, but it says a Venezuela court sentenced two former U.S. soldiers to 20 years in prison for their role in a failed incursion aimed at ousting President Nicolas Maduro in early May, the chief prosecutor said on Friday. Former Green Berets Luke Denman and Arian Barry admitted to participating in the May 4th operation. That was written on Saab's Twitter account. He said the gentleman admitted to committing these crimes and that there's trials going on for dozens of others who were captured as well. Denman and Barry were charged with conspiracy, terrorism, and illicit weapons trafficking. Not great to be going to prison there. And one of the lawyers said that their legal team was not allowed to the courtroom. So these guys are going to, they're basically on trial for their lives for 20 years, and they couldn't even have it. And the two men were not even available for comment. You think Venezuela is pretty secretive in what's going on there. The sea incursion launched from Colombia, known as Operation Gideon, left at least eight dead. Kate, tell us what actually happened there.
So Maduro's government said it arrested a group of conspirators that included Denman and Barry near the isolated coastal town of Chao. U.S. Special Forces veteran Jordan Gordeau, who ran Silvercore USA, a private Florida-based security firm, has claimed responsibility for the raid. And that Silvercore USA, by the way, when they first got arrested, people went and looked at the website for this guy, this U.S. Special Forces veteran, and half of the wording from that website was taken from, like, James Patterson novels. Like, word for word. He pretty much copyrighted all these books of what it seems like to be one of these guys and made it. And it seems like he really did get wrapped up in it then. And, like, this ended up happening to him. But Denman appeared in a video on Venezuelan state TV days after the capture, saying they had been contacted by Silvercore USA to train 50 to 60 Venezuelans in Colombia, seize control of Caracas's airport, and bring in a plane to fly Maduro to the United States. Opposition leader Juan Guaido's office said Guaido had known about the operation since October, but did not finance or order it. Maduro, who describes Guaido as, I'm probably butchering that, as a Washington puppet, has said that President Donald Trump's government backed the operation. The Trump administration, meanwhile, has denied any direct involvement. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the U.S. government would use every tool to secure the U.S. citizens' return. So it seems like, and this guy, this Silvercore USA, I think you can still go look at the website. It truly looks like, again, that James Patterson was coming out with a new novel.
Or our guest on Friday, Brad Thor.
And Brad Thor. So say he was coming out with a new novel and Silvercore was the name of the contractor in the book.
You just roll your eyes.
And they wanted to create some sort of buzz for the book, and so they created a fake website that you could go to see Silvercore. Like, that's what this website looks like. And, you know,
it's like PFT made it, like you did the signed Blake Bortles website.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that whole story, if you look into these Special Forces guys and their whole Silvercore USA and all that stuff, it is really interesting. But 20 years in Venezuelan prison, that is... That is not great.
All it does is when I hear somebody going to prison in Venezuela, it brings me back to the Parks and Rec scene where it's like you undercook fish, jail. Overcook fish, also jail. You go to the dentist, you miss your appointment, jail. We have the best patients in the world.
Yeah, and Venezuela has roughly 30 prisons and 500 jails that can hold an estimated 110,000 inmates, and human rights officials say the prisons are violent and badly overcrowded with gangs that traffic weapons and drugs and control. There have been some notorious riots. Just a couple years ago, there was that one that left 40 dead in a Venezuelan prison. So they're pretty much, these prisons are notoriously controlled by the inmates. So I don't know how this is going to go.
It probably won't go well, but I think so. Oftentimes, these private ex special forces contracting companies, the money is so lucrative. I'm speculating just based on the little that I do know. It's very hard to turn down these opportunities. So the fact
I think when we first covered it, these guys were offered even just like the regular like foot soldiers, I guess, $500,000 to be a part of it.
That's what I'm talking about. So if you're coming from the world in the military, even if you reach the highest rank in the military, you're still making a small sum compared to $500,000. No one else is putting $500,000 in front of you in the military at any point for anything. So I kind of understand that. But I also have to point out, if you Google Silvercourt USA and you go to images, the first one is of the guy Jordan Goudreau. He looks like a henchman in a bad Netflix movie. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's got the sunglasses on, the suit and tie, the clean cut jaw. This guy could definitely be trying to tangle with Liam Neeson in a Netflix movie coming to theaters near you.
Right. Part of me almost feels like this could be a movie someday. It seems like two guys
trying. It definitely will. It will for sure.
It seems like two guys like think until you make it really trying to be these like badass international contractors.
Where it'll come Kate, out. It's a great point. It will definitely be on FXX. And Craig, that was such a great point when they go to the website and it's all written as if by an author. The public's perception of the special forces is so high these days that has come about through all the books and the movies that have come to light in the last decade or so. And they just don't understand that what they're reading is – they can't parse through the BS the way that you're able to read it and see, oh, you just ripped this out of somebody's novel. Right. It's so ridiculous.
If you're a civilian looking for somebody to go, you know, investigate something for you in Caracas or something and you see this website, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. Denman and Barry are the ones. This is fucking the shit.
For sure.
But it almost reminded me of that movie The Disaster Artist where – I don't know. I can see this becoming just something. I mean, obviously – I don't wish upon anyone to wind up in a Venezuelan prison for 20 years, but also, oh my God.
I think we'll get them back. I don't think they'll stay there for 20 years. I think ultimately we'll figure out a way to get them back. I hope, but we'll see.
I am interested. Trump administration saying they had nothing to do with it, but they are backing the opposition leader. And I don't know. The whole thing's really interesting. So we'll see how it goes, but yikes. Yeah. Crazy story.
And chaps, that was a very good, albeit veiled, reference to the movie Triple Frontier.
I don't know what that means.
You said a Ben Affleck movie on Netflix, which was Triple Frontier.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Yeah. Good movie.
It's fucking terrible.
It wasn't terrible. What? If it was terrible, it was so terrible that it was good. It was very and it was an enjoyable 90 minutes. We'll say that.
Well, whenever I hear Silvercourt, it always reminds me of one song. Can anybody guess what song that is?
No.
Tricons. Silvercourt. Think it.
Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac?
No, definitely not. Kate?
No, Silvercourt. I have no idea.
Here's the first verse of Silverchairs, the year 2000.
I forgot about them.
Silverchair was fucking great, man. All right, let's move on to round number two. Round number two comes to us from Afghanistan. A government contractor has been confined for months at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan, and he has a military judge to bring his former employer to court in order to get his immediate release. Kumar
Pabitra.
Yeah, that guy. He's an Indian national who had been employed by the U.S.-based Flora Corps. Is that it? Flora?
Mm-hmm.
Flora Corps?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, Flora Corps.
It's no Silver Corps. But.
Yeah, Silvercourt is one of the undisclosed number of foreign workers who have been living in conditions they describe as jail-like in a sprawling base since their job were cut earlier this year. Now, these people, if you have been on a deployment and you've seen them, like they work in the chow hall, they work at the fuel farms, they work all over the place. And I don't think the general public has any idea how many of these support staff really work for the United States whenever you're over there. And that's even from when I was there. Like, you would just look around. Easily, it's one-to-one match. Easily. Well, and I would say probably more than that.
So my job on my second deployment was at Camp Leatherneck, which was huge. I mean, tens and tens of thousands of people. It was like a city, pretty much. And my job was to vet every foreign national and third country national that came through the base. So, I mean, it was just an endless stream. And to help deal with the civilian side of managing that and all the different contractors, of which there was, I mean, there had to be like 60 different contractors. Mm-hmm. And they each almost have their own little neighborhood on the base. where it's a base within a base. It's that contractor's world, and the military doesn't really have, they have their own fenced off areas, their own little compounds where their workers live for that particular contractor. And every now and then, and it's, to be honest, at the time, it was very loose oversight of what these personal contractors are doing with their staff. That's their thing. And every now and then we would get foreign nationals coming up to our thing, our like hub, saying, like, help us. They're keeping us here as slaves, pretty much. They're not letting us send our money home. They're not letting us do this or that. We're trapped here. And it was almost like a human rights, like, I don't know if I should even be said, but like, it was almost like, you know, I'm a Lance Corporal and I'm like, is guys?
Yeah, I remember hearing right now? Stories like that of people who worked at the chow hall and being like, yeah, they've been here for like a year. They're trying to go home and they won't let them. Like,
and they won't. Yeah. And so there was a lot of really, and two, another thing was that this was more controlled by the contractor side and not necessarily my job, but the contractors, some of their jobs was to go and check on the living conditions. And some of the living conditions that these, I mean, part of why it was foreign nationals and third country nationals that were doing all these jobs was because it was cheaper. And these contractors, these like American contractors and stuff, all they care about is saving money and making money. And so the conditions that they had these people living in were like subhuman. I saw Connex boxes where people were like, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, holy shit. But it's one of those things where you're in and you're like, I don't know, but like, I probably should have.
I will say, though, there are some times, though, where these people, these foreign nationals, they come to work on an American base and they're given, you know, it's not the Ritz-Carlton, but they're given, you know, a cot and a roof over their head and it's decent. And then they kind of trash it and they don't take care of it. And the upkeep becomes to the point where it then becomes an unlivable condition. I don't think that more often than not, they start out in these horrible, horrible conditions.
Well, who knows? But either way, if you get there and you're living in absolute shithole, I mean, if you're crammed like 20 dudes to a small thing, it's not going to stay perfect. You know what I mean? You're going to have to deal with...
That's a lot of piss bottles.
That's a lot of piss bottles. But anyway,
they gave this guy a red badge, meaning that he had to wait for a flight. So he was kind of like he was flagged as being somebody who might have done something a little bit suspicious or doesn't have the full trust of the government there. But there was really... He was given no reason why he was given that red badge, which you would think they would stay away from red badge. I mean, Red Badge of Courage is a book.
Well, this is the last thing I'll say about it, was that part of my job was to determine, we gave out badges and we decided who gets what level, and different colors meant you had different levels of access around the base. Like, you have you're a foreign national with a green badge, you can go into the chow hall. If you have a yellow badge, you can go, but you always have to have somebody with you. So if you see a yellow badge walking around by themselves, hey, what the fuck, get back to your area. You need to have an escort. And it all depends on their background and yada, 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 all different things. And so to have the badge level can also be part of what keeps you trapped, because you can't go anywhere. You can't get out and leave your area to go ask for certain things, kind of thing. So, yeah, it can be really... I mean, this is how it was. This was way back in 2012, yeah. But it's still concerning.
But also, I mean, part of that system, too, is how they decided. Like, you said that you were part of the team that would decide that.
What the fuck did I know?
What do you know?
Like, absolutely.
What the fuck do you know?
I was going to say, the fact that, they, you know, nothing against you. I'm sure you were very competent in your job. But the fact that that was entrusted to a corporal and not someone with a much higher rank is just a little shocking.
Well, even so, I mean, you're dealing with something that you have – almost zero information. Even if you're giving that authority to a colonel, they don't fucking know either.
True.
Like, you're just reading a couple of things and looking at somebody and being like, okay, you're
okay,
green,
I guess
purple,
I'll take your word for
red,
it.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, part of it too was that if they were working with the military and stuff, I would get officers coming in and going, you got to give my interpreters or you got to give my contractors higher levels because we don't have enough, because they were downsizing at the time, bringing troops home. We don't have enough troops to escort them, but we can't babysit them all the time because blah, blah, blah. So hurry up, just raise their thing. Look the other way and raise their level. And I'm like, I can't, sir. Like, so I had like officers coming in and like, okay, Lance Corporal. Then like, you know, like it was like, what am I supposed to do?
You know,
so
what I would do?
What?
I would Christmas tree it. I would like approve like 4 out of 5 and then 1 I'd be like, oh, you get the red. You're red.
But it
Sorry.
Was really like, you could tell the whole thing was like a farce pretty much. Like it was, yeah. It was the whole thing. But anyway,
so
sorry,
been,
I'm rambling.
He's been there for 4 months trying to get away and they can't. And it could go on indefinitely. Like, there's no time period for these people to have it. But this is the first time that a magistrate is taking a look at these contractors and seeing what they should actually do. Because many of them now, like, this guy has been there, and you think, okay, he's been there 4 months longer than he wanted to, but at least he's still getting paid. Not the case. He's not getting paid at all. His family's not getting paid. And a lot of the places that these folks, these contractors come from, the male is the money maker. Like, the women aren't allowed to go to work, or they don't work. They stay at home with the kids. So if dad is away for 4 months not getting any pay, that's a family that doesn't have any income for 4 months. So who knows what that's causing back at home too. So that's – it's pretty terrible, man. Like, the way that the contractors are treated is pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's and it says here, a Macedonian man who killed himself at the base last month had waited 2 months under such conditions. – Over the past several months, Pabitra has made several requests to Floor, his contractor, to be released from his room, but those pleas have been rejected. Mr. Pabitra has not been charged with any offense. The cause for his prolonged detention remains unexplained. And this, again, like, I'm just thinking back, and, like, those times where you say, like, well, I didn't know any better, and you feel powerless. Like, there was definitely things that, in my head, I was like, this doesn't seem great. This doesn't seem right. And I only had, like, so much insight, but it was definitely, like, the Wild West when it came to contractors and what they did on their property on the base, which was most of the time military had no, the gate would open and shut. You could see in for a second. You really didn't know what was going on behind those doors. But pretty interesting.
I just thought everybody was getting haircuts.
Yeah, pretty interesting and crazy world if you really look into it, what life is like for a lot of those contractors there. Pretty nutty.
Let's move on to round number three.
Round number three. It has been 7 years since the central air conditioning system worked at the New York City Middle School where Lisa Fitzgerald O'Connor teaches. As the new school year approaches amid coronavirus pandemic, she and her colleagues are threatening not to return unless it's repaired. Her classroom has a window AC, but she fears the stagnant air will increase chances that children infected with the virus could spread it. Window units just aren't going to cut it. We don't want to stay cool. We want the air to flow properly, said O'Connor. She's a science teacher. We are really super stressed about it. Schools around the country are facing similar problems as they plan or contemplate reopening this fall, dealing with aging air conditioning, heating and circulation systems that don't work well or at all because maintenance and replacement were deferred due to tight budgets. Concerns about school infrastructure are adding momentum to plans in some districts, even in colder climates, to take classes outdoors for the sake of student and teacher health.
Good luck to all these teachers, man. I remember when I was in high school, when I was in middle school, and you said that we are going to have outside class day. Oh, I'm not listening.
Forget
to
it.
Shit. I become the biggest bird watcher. With as many kids have ADHD now, like, to make these kids go outside in New York City, good luck.
Oh, forget
it. These kids aren't going to – there is going to be a generation of children in the United States who cannot read. I'm certain of it.
Yeah, this is going to fuck some shit up.
I mean, think about it this year. My kid is going into the second grade. What you learn halfway through first grade into second grade is so foundational to your education.
Yeah.
Like learning how to read, learning mathematics, learning the foundations of science. That's all first, second, and third grade. These kids are going to be out of school for 9-10 months. Think about back to whenever you were in high school or whenever you were in middle school, and you get back at the beginning of the year and you're doing a refresher. I barely knew how to write my name at the end of the summer, and that was 3 months. You're talking 9 months out of school, and you want them to remember how to pronounce or how to sound out the letter A with as many different iterations that you could have that the A can make? No shot.
I think another problem, too, is that even if you are in the classrooms, I remember as a kid, every now and then you get the classroom that was 1,000 fucking degrees or that was fucking freezing. You can't focus at all. And the teacher, I dated a teacher who worked in a school district down in Delco that was really tough up, and he had no air conditioning, and his windows were right next to the hot tar roof. And he said, like, the kids, he'd be sweating through his shirt. The kids were like falling into like a heat daze, you know, where you're
that
like,
day it didn't
and
matter
he had to bring his own fans, and there were so many going that you could barely hear him. Like, it was a nightmare, and that teachers have to deal with this shit in the first place before coronavirus is what are we doing? Like, where are we putting our funding that we can't do basic shit? Like
41%.
41%.
That's a staggering number to which I don't think most people realize is the truth.
41% of school districts need an update or to replace their heating, ventilation, and cooling systems in at least half of their schools. And that means, too, like, we're talking about, okay, so people can go to restaurants outdoors now and all that kind of stuff because there's airflow and it's outdoors. Like, even if the teachers want to go back, and I get sending the kids back to, but then have ventilation. Like, holy shit, don't have them all crammed in these rooms with no airflow. I mean, it just, it's crazy to me that, yeah.
Yeah, but the sad reality is all of this money is not going to just materialize as if from nowhere. I don't think so, unfortunately, because especially when you're talking about HVAC units for entire school districts, you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars and things like that. The wheels of money just don't turn very quickly.
Oh, and school districts be hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you have to do it. I mean, just in my own house, if I have to replace a fucking coil, it's $2,000.
Yeah.
I mean, having all these different contracted government positions that are working for the state and local governments, it would be an outrageous sum of money. I mean, but it's something that you're going to have to do because life is not going to be the same if we don't take all these precautionary steps and do what's necessary. It's just going to continue to go on. And what are we doing? Listen to guys like Trevor Lawrence about because he wants to play. Shut up, Trevor. Like, I think that sometimes we have people that, like Trevor Lawrence, for example.
What are you talking about? Can you explain?
So Trevor Lawrence had this long, everybody was sucking his dick, basically. On
Real quick, do you know
who
Trevor Lawrence?
No, I have no idea.
He's the quarterback for Clemson.
Okay. Yeah, he was a 5-star recruit, one of the highest sought after quarterback prospects.
He's the long haired boy.
Long haired guy, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And he was one of the highest prospects in the last 20, probably since Peyton Manning, of being like a legit quarterback god. Mm-hmm. He came in, lived up to the reputation that he had. He's a great quarterback. But I think sometimes we look at athletes, even young athletes, and have them speak and have them speak publicly about shit they have no idea about. This is a 20-year-old kid who is going out there and you have senators quoting his statement because they want college football to play again. Ask the fucking epidemiologist at Clemson what they think. Ask the doctors at the Clemson's medical school what they think. Not Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. To have an opinion about something as complicated as what we're dealing with when the foremost minds in this world still are not 100% clear on everything is a little pie in the sky, a little Pollyanna-ish. But I will say, to be Trevor Lawrence, it's a very tough position because you are expected to speak up and speak out about where you stand.
It's a cultural thing for sure that athletes are supposed to speak out.
Yeah, and I mean, considering who he is, I mean, he's the quasi, considering how talented he is and probably that he would be the number one or number two pick in next year's draft, he's somewhat the de facto leader of college football. I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but I think people are looking to him, and wrongly so, for the reasons that we just pointed out. I don't care what Trevor Lawrence thinks about college football. Obviously, I want college football to happen, and I want to see that kid play among all the other kids in the country play this year. But yeah, I want to hear the smart people, the adults. This is the time when we need the adults to step up and make decisions and not necessarily take the reins from a 20-year-old.
Well, and not necessarily because he's not smart. Like, I think that he is smart. Like, I think he's – I mean, to be a great quarterback, you have to be smart.
No, I'm not saying he's not smart. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and I'm not saying that you are either. I'm saying that there is a time where you look for a military phrase, subject matter expert. That's who we should be looking to, is subject matter experts on issues of fucking pandemic that have derailed the economy and the global landscape for the past 8 months. Not Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah, but great hair, though, still. Great hair.
Great hair.
You're
fantastic
talking about
hair.
Another
and
thing.
That dude, talk about having it going for you. Being his age at Clemson, doing what he's doing, clean-cut guy, won a national championship already, got engaged, he's going to be a millionaire. Man. Not a bad gig.
But is he happy, though? You know?
Probably. Does he have a mini bike?
Back to
Has he shit in the last 3 days? How quick does he eat?
Back to the schools needing HVAC and all that stuff. They said another thing that they used during the 1950s, during like measles, tuberculosis, airborne diseases, is ultraviolet lighting along classroom ceilings. And they said that would cost like $3,000 per classroom. But I do think if you're an investor, ultraviolet lighting and HVAC, get into it, because if 40% of schools are in need of, and I know a lot of my veteran buddies are in HVAC now, so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a great time.
Do you guys believe UV lighting? Do you guys believe in that?
I was going to say that's more of a want than a need.
I think that's pseudoscience. I don't believe for a second that fucking UV lights destroy germs. How? How does that work? If that's the case, just put every single light bulb, just make UV, and we'll be a germless world.
So artificial UV light can damage the genetic material of bacteria and viruses, including potentially coronavirus. But it can kill. It is used by hospitals to kill pathogens on surfaces and in the air. So it changes.
I don't believe that.
It can mess with the DNA of.
We can say subject matter experts believe it. I don't believe it for a second. Okay. And I realize I'm no Trevor Lawrence or Dr. Fauci, but I don't believe in that for 1 second. I do, however, have a UV light that's in our laundry room that's supposed to take care of cat odors, and it's supposed to destroy cat odor smell. That doesn't work. Still smells like cat shit in there.
That's because you have the worst litter box ever for cats. That litter, I changed back to the regular and it's fine now. Litter box sucks. cat talk.
Wow. Yeah, it's you're true. Gonna end the. Didn't think we're gonna end the round with you attacking my cat litter.
It's horrible, and I'm mad that you still have it.
Speaking of college football, though, as we were recording this, the Big Ten and Pac-12 have canceled their seasons. So it's crazy to see how this thing is playing out.
Well, agree.
I feel like the government's just got to get it together, come up with like a real plan for everybody.
We got to do something. Let's move on to round number 4, which is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Daddy. Daddy is a new sponsor for the show. And did you know that men are responsible for half of all infertility cases? 1 in 7 couples experience infertility, and 1 in 10 of men are infertile. That's pretty high, 10%.
Yeah.
Daddy's here to normalize the conversation around male reproductive health, and we want to make the process of fertility testing and sperm bank as comfortable as possible. Anything dealing with your nut in the doctor, like we're talking semen, talking ripping ropes and stuff like that, anytime you're dealing with that branch of medicine, it's uncomfortable.
I cannot imagine if it was the other way around. Like, I would be dying. I wouldn't even be able to get off.
Well, that'd be gross. Like, if ladies leaked the same way, like if you had lady nut the same way as like dudes do, that'd be weird.
It's not supposed to be the same.
Be like spitting out a loogie when you're super high.
Yeah, totally, dude.
We had a note on this ad read to handle it maturely. I don't know if we're doing that or not. But Daddy has developed a high-tech at-home sperm collection kit, which allows you to test and store your sperm all without leaving the comfort of your home. You get your results within 24 hours of receiving your sample, and these services through sperm banks usually cost thousands of dollars. Daddy provides an at-home collection kit. They actually sent me one. And
that's
it's
awesome.
My sperm count came back at 0 because I've had a vasectomy. And they are going to free, they're going to cryogenically freeze your sperm. Whoa, for a year.
Holy shit.
For $199, all with an option to store your sperm for 99 a year after the first year for free. That's really cheap, man.
Yeah.
There's no hidden cost or fees, and you can do it with our promo code. Go to daddykit.com. That's DADIKIT.com, spelled daddy, and enter the code ZBT50 at checkout to order your kit today. Pretty amazing deal. You're going to get 15% off, so you'll know just how active your sperm is, which is great. I always thought that – I wonder if you could see it under a microscope. Do you guys think?
I think you can.
Well, I want to know.
I also heard that sperm doesn't swim. It flops around like a dead fish.
If I was a guy, I would genuinely be curious. I would want to know what my count is. Like,
do that for Barstool Bets, like for what they're doing.
I swear to God,
you
should.
See who have the highest count.
Two things on this. One, I would absolutely do it. Even if I wasn't seeing anybody and wasn't ready for kids right now, I would want to do it just to know. Just out of sheer curiosity, I would do it. Number two, say I'm a hot young whippersnapper and I'm in my prime and I'm like, this is probably peak sperm for me right now. Mm-hmm. This is probably the best swimmers I have.
They call that the money nut, yeah.
I get setting that aside for later. Like, I get being like, let's hold on to this primo stuff before I really start hitting the cigarettes and the booze, you know?
You're absolutely right. And what about if you're that guy whose dick fell off from a couple of weeks ago and he had to grow it back on his arm?
Right. I genuinely think that's, like, a pretty cool idea. I think it's
awesome.
It's
a very high tech. Did you get one, Cons? Did they send you one, too?
I saw the kits. They look awesome.
No, they look cool, though. I've seen them.
Yeah, that's really sweet. And I don't know.
And I know this is going long for an ad read, but when I was opening up the box, I think it came in like a FedEx thing, very discreetly marked. It wasn't like, hey, this box checks your nut strength or anything like that. So I put it on my counter and was opening it, and my older kid was in the kitchen, constantly nosy like every other kid. When I get a package, like, oh, what's that? What's going on? What's that? What'd you order? And wants to see. Kelsey was like, what's this? What's that? I'm like, it checks how strong your sperm is when you masturbate into it. And she was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
It is cool, though. Yeah. I want to know. I want to fucking know.
I think that's a question your daughter probably immediately regretted.
What do you think your count is, Cons?
Dude, I don't even know what a normal count is. Just I don't even know over the range.
I'll tell you, set the over under. I'll say if I think you got over or under.
5,000.
Oh, that's way.
Yikes. Because normally the densities range from 15 million to greater than 200 million sperm per millimeter of semen. So you're at.
What?
I could repopulate the earth with one.
15.
It's in the millions?
15 to 200 million. You have a low sperm count if you have fewer than 15 million sperm per millimeter or less than 39 million sperm per ejaculate. So you want to have 40 million or more per ejaculate is like, all right, you got some. So I would want to know if I got it back and I was 200 million, I would put a flag on my patio with my numbers on it. I would have a sperm-shaped flag blowing in the wind. We've seen videos
with ladies that have the population of the earth on their face then.
Absolutely. Turns out I've had the whole world between my tits.
Oh!
Let's move on to round number four. What do we got there, Kate? I'm
so glad you asked. Two rehabilitated sea turtles rescued at different times and locations by the U.S. Coast Guard have been released off the Florida Keys. Emma, a 150-pound female loggerhead sea turtle.
We don't share ladies' weight.
No, we never would. Speaking of, I got a 150-pound loggerhead that I can't get out of me right now.
Snapping turtle head.
Anyway, she was found floating in the Atlantic off Islamorada Island. Emma was transported to the turtle hospital where treatment included emptying excess air out of her body cavity and a regimen of fluids and vitamins. Bubbles, a 225-pound adult female, found entangled in an abandoned fishing trap line by recreational boaters in mid-June off Long Key. Officers from the Coast Guard assisted Turtle Hospital staff with the rescue. The entanglement unfortunately caused irreparable damage to Bubbles' rear flipper, resulting in amputation surgery. Bubbles was also treated for pneumonia and other issues.
Goddamn, Bubbles.
Come on, Bubbles. Coast Guard Petty Officer Michael Lees described the rescue and Thursday's release of the sea turtles as a rare treat. It's fulfilling to see the final result of a turtle rescue, Lees said. Rarely do we get to see the actual release of a sea turtle. That has to be to take a break.
Now, Kate, let's take a little trip. You took a week off from work. You went on a little vacation down to the old Key West. You're sitting there at one of those sleepy bars that look like it'd be a little jaunt that old Ernest Hemingway was hanging out whenever he was writing books about whales and what have you. So you're sitting there at the bar. Some fella is a couple too many tequila sunrises deep. He looks over and starts talking to you. And he says, and you say, well, what do you do for a living,
What's your
Rick?
Sperm count, said, Rick?
And he's like, 30 billion. You're like, whoa. Next thing you know, he tells you that he's a veterinarian, slurring through his word. And you're like, where do you work at? And he's like, Turtle Hospital. Who's one of your patients? Bubbles. She had pneumonia. Do you believe that story?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Bubbles.
You buy that
Bubbles
one?
Losing a flipper with pneumonia. I'd be like, let me get you a drink, pal. That's tough to see Bubbles in that shape. It's rough to see Bubbles in that shape.
Oh, brick by brick.
Bubbles. I feel like long time stoolie Bubbles. I feel like it has to be a treat. Like Coast Guard, especially down there, you're hopping on the cocaine submarines. You're dealing with all kinds of drama. To just get a little Bubbles to help out a turtle named Bubbles has to be like,
I have a question.
One of the people that let Bubbles loose is going to listen to this podcast in 20 years and be like, Bubbles, the sea turtle. Haven't heard that name in years.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're patrolling in the Coast Guard, you're patrolling the Florida Keys. Where do you think you're actually stationed?
Florida Keys.
Florida Keys, yeah.
No, there's. I guess there's probably Coast Guard stations there.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's something we don't talk enough about, is how great some of the places the Coast Guard.
Oh, everywhere the Coast Guard is. I guess they have ones in like Detroit and Ohio and shit too. But most of the spots that the Coast Guard is, I mean, like Rhode Island's a huge spot for them.
The New York City Coast Guard, they are on little boats going around the harbor, going around the island all day. What a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly right. All right, let's move on to round number five. Round number five, we are going to do a little bit something different. I thought about it this morning whenever I was looking through. I've been on a huge musical kick. Yesterday, whenever I was driving an hour and a half to pick up my Honey Barrels, which Cons rudely did not care about, I listened to the Hamilton soundtrack, and I listened to The Last 5 Years, and then we listened to Wicked on the way back because my older daughter really likes musicals. I'm a huge musical fan, so it got me thinking which military movie should be made into a musical. Do you guys have any thoughts on the matter whatsoever?
I do.
Yes.
First of all, guess this musical. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks to me like the best part of you ran down the crack of your mama's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress. What's your major malfunction? Numbnuts, didn't mommy and daddy show you enough attention when you were a child? You climb like old people fuck Private Pile.
Wow, that's
that was really good. Yeah,
that's Full Metal Jacket in musical
form. Metal Jacket would be a good musical.
Okay, how about this one?
Anything else, Kate?
One more. Okay. A flashlight was a moonbeam. A pen was an ink stick. My mouth was a cum receptacle. A bed was a rack. A wall was a bulkhead. A shirt was a blouse. But a tie was still a tie. And a belt was a belt. But many other things would never be the same.
Bada bada,
it's Jarhead,
not the same.
Jarhead,
not
Jake
the same.
Jake Gyllenhaal, he's a Jarhead. That one's Jarhead, the musical.
Yeah.
So keep these tunes.
And Jamie Foxhole.
Absolutely. So keep these thoughts in your mind. Those could be two very good. Very good musicals.
Good.
Absolutely.
Cons, what about you?
You know, I think about this, and I think there's some clear answers that could easily transform from the current state into musical, but that would be too easy. I want to see Patton, the musical.
Mm. Well, give us a tune.
Jeez.
It's me, General Patton, and my patented jazz hands on the boat. I got the big flag behind me, and I'm jazzing a hand, and I'm Patton. No.
What a cocky move to have that big of a flag behind.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out.
I mean, that's just made for Broadway with that big old flag up there on the stage.
Oh yeah.
I
do it on a green screen and have it flowing and have like Toby Keith playing.
We got over 100 answers on this question that Kyle put up on the ZBT at @0blog30 Twitter. And one of the favorite ones that I can see is Top Gun the musical. I can absolutely see the volleyball scene turning into this big dance scene.
Oh, yeah.
That song when he's overcoming his grief of Goose, as Drew Loudon follower said, they would both make fantastical musical numbers, and I think he's correct. The Tropic Thunder would be a great one. I feel like that would very much have like a Captain Team America vibe to it.
I would like to see Major Payne.
Yeah, that could work. I think any comedy in the Army now, Major Payne, those would easily transfer to being a musical.
You know, it would be really touching if you had like Anne Hathaway played it like she did in Les Miserables, and she's just like crying, singing, and she's one of the main characters in Saving Private Ryan, the musical, where like she's coming, she wants her husband to come home and she's crying. I think those scenes are so intense. When I was listening, have you guys seen Hamilton yet? Kate, you didn't like
it, right? Now it was 3 a.m. and I was like blackout drunk.
Yeah, that's not fair. Cons, you haven't seen it, right? And you refuse to?
No, yeah, I'm out on it.
I'm shocked by that. Cons, you would love it.
You would.
You would. You would love it.
Probably, but not anymore. I won't.
You've seen it, Kyle?
No, I think I got to side with Cons here, and that breaks my heart. But
oh my god, it's so good, guys. And I think like Lin-Manuel Miranda, whatever his name is. Lin-Manuel Miranda. I don't know how you write something like that. There's certain things that I read and I or listen to. I'm like, how the fuck did you come up with this? Like, how is that something that lived inside your brain? Like the way that Miranda will have different songs from different times mash up together and they all flow back and forth. To do something like that from scratch, I don't know how you do it. That's not the way my brain could work. I could never take that much time to do something. I actually had somebody call me from like a literary agent called me and asked me if I wanted to write a book. And I said, absolutely not.
Why?
He was like, I've read some of your more serious writings and you're a good writer. You should think about writing a book. And I said, no way, because my brain does not work in a way where I have to have long-term thought and where I don't get instantaneous reward. I think that's why I like working at Barstool, because I can make a video, I can write a blog, I can have a tweet, and I can put it out to the world in 5 minutes. If I have to wait longer than that, I don't even care about that project anymore. Like, yeah. I can't imagine writing something 500 pages, getting it taken down to 300 pages, and then having to wait 6 months. Like what Max Uriarte just did, writing and coloring all those different, doing the illustrations for his entire book, and then having to wait 6-8 months. Or the people who made Mulan, the live-action Mulan, it was supposed to come out in like April or March, and they had to wait another 6 months. By that time, you don't even care about the project anymore.
That's fair. Yeah.
I'm in the locker and I'm hurting.
Too many I'm looking at,
choices in the grocery store. That's the Hurt Locker.
I'm seeing now though, movie lines from Patton, and it really does sound like it's well suited. So if in the beginning when he says, "When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you'll know what to do." And then Georgie Scott like gets into like a tap dancing.
Yeah, okay.
That's perfect.
All right.
But how would you do, I think, my favorite scene, one of my favorite scenes from a movie, if you could do We Were Soldiers? Mm-hmm. And it would be there. Hal Moore standing there. You have like a beautiful, beautiful singing Hal Moore when he's like, "Look around you. In the 7th Cavalry, we got a captain from the Ukraine, another from Puerto Rico." Singing those lines that are just so famous would be difficult. That's what was going on with the Few Good Men guy. The Few Good Men guy was this old dude who was playing Jack Nicholson. Imagine playing Colonel Jessup after Jack Nicholson did. Can't do it.
It's impossible. You can't follow that up in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly right.
Especially not in musical form.
No, definitely not. That is my favorite military movie, though, besides A Few Good Men. All right, let's move on to a little bit of save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
"'Tis I, Ashton Kutcher, and I'm on a Coast Guard boat. It's the Guardian 2006 film." Anyways, I still haven't seen that yet. I need to. Anyways, save rounds. I hope I poop today.
Okay.
Connor.
Well, you know what could potentially hurt Fellas. Or help you poop? So, in New York City, there are bars in New York City that only sell alcohol. They don't have food. And the only way Governor Cuomo allowed them to be open was if you were also selling food. So bars got very inventive. They call them Cuomo chips if you put chips out and whatever. So I was reading an article in the New York Post. Did you know, Kate, there's a bar in New York City, beloved 52-year-old Lower East Side staple, International Bar. The owner, Molly Fitch, she's offered $20 MREs since before Corona.
What?
You could get MREs at this bar. She said, we've always sold MREs. People just don't order them. They can, but
we
they don't.
We gotta go for Zero Block 30 at some point.
Yeah,
we gotta go.
We should definitely go to this bar and check out the MRE selection.
Absolutely. That's in. That'll be a CBT Instagram video at some point this month.
That would be excellent. And then just recently, I just pulled up Jim Harbaugh quoted. Now, this is talking about college football, but Jim Harbaugh in a letter about wanting to play, he said, "I'm in quoting President Theodore Roosevelt, We do this, quote, so that our place will not be among the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat, close quote. I don't think Teddy Roosevelt was talking about football when he said that initially, but I respect Coach Harbaugh for working that into wanting to play through the coronavirus pandemic. So good for him.
Kyle?
Yeah, good for
Coach
Harbaugh.
Can you guys hear my kids screaming about Fortnite?
That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You wanted us to remind you about, quote, unquote, make a hole.
Oh, yeah. Good call, Kyle. So yesterday I was watching. Have you guys seen Mindhunter?
No.
It's a show on Netflix. I think it's about murder goofing. I've only watched the first episode. But this guy, actually, it is the dude who plays King George II on Hamilton. His name is Jonathan Groff, and he sings beautifully. But he's been in this movie. He's not a singer or in this TV show. And him and another FBI agent are going somewhere, and there's a group of journalists that are trying to get information about a case. And the main guy, the other FBI agent, says, make a hole to the journalist, and everybody like parks to see. I miss make a hole goofing. Just telling people make a hole. You see somebody higher rank come, hey, you make a hole. And you think that that's going to get you promoted on the spot.
Absolutely.
If you do it aggressively enough. You say make a hole or buy or leave good morning, sir, loud enough, you feel like you should get promoted on the spot.
I agree. Or, you know what I always did, too, was I always picked up trash that I saw because I always hoped. There was always that rumor that, like, a higher up saw somebody pick up trash or do something good and they promoted them, like, right there. So that's the only reason.
Well, have I ever told you this story about me when I was on the gate at in Okinawa for the Marine Corps ball?
No.
There was the Marine Corps ball was happening in Okinawa. I was fucking boot ass boot Lance Corporal. And I had only been on Okinawa for maybe like 3 or 4 months, something like that. Not very long. I had just gotten certified with my dog, which meant we could go to the gate and do inspections and things. Well, for the Marine Corps birthday ball, it was the Commandant came to Okinawa. And he, whenever they get there, they have like a driver, obviously. The Commandant has a driver. Yeah. And the instructions were the Commandant was going to be on base tonight. No one gets on base without showing their ID. Every single driver, every single passenger, if they're coming on base, you've got to see their ID. Well, they come through the gate and the Lance Corporal or the sergeant who's driving shows me his ID. There's a gunny that's sitting next to him in the driver's seat. And then in the back seat is the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And then, like, a general's aide or whoever. Everybody has their ID except for the Commandant on the Marine Corps. And he comes rolling in, and I'm like, do you have your ID, sir? And he was like, no, I actually don't. I left it in. I don't bring a wallet when I'm in dress blues. And I was like, sorry, sir, I can't let you in. And I was like, my instructions were everybody has to have their ID, so you can't come in. And he was like, do you know who I am? I was like, yes, sir. You're General Hagee. You're the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And he was like, and you're not going to let me on the base. And I was like, no, sir, not without your ID. And he was like, do you have corporal chevrons on you? And I said, no, sir, I don't. And he was like, that's a damn shame. We'll be back. And like, he came back through, got his ID. But I was like, what does that mean? Because like, I didn't know about the promote you on the spot. And my sergeant at the time, he was there. He was like, dude. He was going to promote you to corporal. You'd have been like the youngest corporal in the Marine Corps. I was like, fuck.
Damn it.
I didn't do it. But my staff sergeant, I would think whenever I was a staff NCO, fuck yeah, I love that shit. You followed instructions to the letter.
Oh, I would have wanted to murder you. I would have wanted to murder you.
I got hazed so bad when I got back to the kennels. Like, I got back to the kennels and my staff sergeant was waiting for me there. And he was like, get dressed. And I was like, oh, fuck. And this dude was in crazy shape. So he PT'd me till I basically almost died. I didn't go home until for a long time. And he was like, you cocky little fuck. You've been in the Marine Corps for 4 months. How dare you?
Welcome to Gate Guard the Musical. You're at my gate. Hand me your ID.
Yeah, so that's Make a Hole.
Yeah, that's Make a Hole the Musical.
Anything else, Kyle?
That's it.
Kyle, we got to grow the beard back. I like bearded Kyle.
So I got – can you guys hear me?
Because
my mic went out.
No, you're good.
All right. So, Friday morning, I went to trim my beard, just kind of bring it down. And I took the guard off my trimmer. Ooh. And I didn't put it just to check, you know, and I didn't put it back on. So I accidentally shaved my face.
That's the worst feeling.
Oh, I was shaving it and I looked down at the sink and the hairs are really long. I'm like, that's weird. And then I looked down and just dread overcame me. And it was bad.
It looks good. You look fresh.
Yeah, I'll bring it back.
Fine.
I mean, I always look good. I appreciate it, but thank you.
Very handsome. All right, I don't really have a whole lot of anything. I'm excited about my honey projects. I did a little building this weekend. I have more stuff coming out. Longtime Toolies. Kyle's been helping with that a lot as well. We have a lot of shit going on. So if you're subscribed to Zero Blog 30, you can find it on YouTube, and you can go to a new Instagram page, which is Longtime Toolies. And on Twitter as well. It's going to be great. I'm excited. My bad day has gotten better just by recording this show. So thank you. I'm not going to be in a bad mood for the rest Woo-hoo! Of the day. So Kate, you don't have anything to worry about for radio All tonight.
Right.
Other than that, sound the retreat.